Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen. My name's Rich Spate and I'm joined down the line from America by Kev Campbell. How are you this evening or this lunchtime, as it will be where you are?
Doing well. Yeah, just after lunch. Good morning of football this morning to watch, and hopefully we can, you know, kick on from there. Doing well.
Yeah, well, Kev's making his debut on the pod proper after joining me to talk through the game against Plymouth last week, which was a victory. This time we've got a draw away in Suffolk at Ipswich Town to talk about. It wasn't the most inspiring of games, so I'm not sure it was a good morning of football. But it's a point. It's Sunderland remaining unbeaten. Are you pretty satisfied with that as a result in the context of the game, Kev?
Yeah, I think in the context of the game and in the context of the run of form that we've been on and in the context of a depleted, injury-ridden squad, I don't think that it's a bad result. Of course, coming into the match today, you see the table, you see how many teams aren't playing and a chance to kind of get points on the board. And so you're looking forward to a win more hopefully, but all things considered, yeah, I think it's a mildly successful day, I think I would call it.
Yeah, I mean, it was an unchanged Sunderland 11, so the same starting lineup, I think, for the third game in a row, which I can't remember when that has last happened. Obviously, Sunderland's injury crisis means that is not a surprise. And we picked up another injury in the first half, and that was kind of one of the major incidents of the first half when Leon Diaku was tackled pretty. I mean, it was not a great challenge by the Ipswich player, and he limped off and, well, tried to limp off and then was carried off on a golf buggy. And that one looks a nasty one. I haven't seen any updates so far on it, but that was pretty much a big blow for Sunderland, wasn't it, Kev?
You know, retrospect, we'll probably have some more information on how serious or the lack of seriousness of the injury by the time this comes out. But yeah, watching it live, it didn't look good in the tackle itself. It definitely didn't look good seeing how labored he was trying to get off the pitch and then obviously having to go off not on his own power. It's not, doesn't inspire confidence of how quickly he'll be able to turn around. And really, he was fairly bright in the game, and you know, he's starting to come into some form the last couple of matches as well. So a massive blow on top of all the other niggling injuries and long-term injuries that we're dealing with. And like you said, we only have the one camera angle to really judge the tackle on. Somebody in the grounds may have a better perspective on it, but it looked a really nasty tackle, especially having seen the replays. Looked studs up really late. But as we've seen the last few games, that's kind of the way it's gone for us with League One refereeing.
Not even a yellow card as well, which was really disappointing. By the time the referee got round to talking to, I think it was Evans, their player, he just gave him a ticking off, which was really bloody disappointing given that, you know, like you say, it was studs up and some referees, you know, we've seen Elliot Embleton sent off for something not too dissimilar this season, and I thought it was a bit of a cop out by the ref. It did mean that we saw Denver Hume come back, which was one out, one in. you know.
Yeah.
Got one new injury, but we got Denver Hume back. But what it didn't do was change the kind of the pattern of the first half, which was us looking really, really vulnerable down the left-hand side. Obviously, Gooch started at left kind of wing back or left back, and then Hume came on and Gooch switched to the right in Jakku's place. But we looked really vulnerable that first half in particular, didn't we? They created quite a lot from Burns down the right.
Yeah, that's where all those attacks were coming from, especially the most dangerous ones. And I don't know if it was a matter of, again, like we saw a little bit at times last week, just a unfamiliarity with the formation that we're playing in at the minute. But I'll say, not to give him too hard of a time, because he's been brilliant since he's been at the club, but Doyle kind of showed his inexperience a few times in some of those overlapping runs down the left-hand side. He was playing on the left of that three. And he was the one that looked pretty vulnerable in those attacks. Not that whoever was playing wingback necessarily helped him a ton in those as they were attacking down that side. But Doyle got kind of bullied off the ball a couple times. There were a couple of dummies down that side that he bit on and ended up trying to catch up from three or four paces behind. So we knew this was coming, right, Rich, with the youngsters, the young squad that we've had. We knew that there'd be some inconsistency in positions, and I think we saw that a little bit from him especially today.
Yeah, but when it came to them taking the lead, which they did just into a very long period of injury time in the first half after Jakku's injury, it was more Flanagan who was kind of caught short, really, who was caught kind of ball watching, and then Doyle makes a desperate lunge to get back. The ball kind of spoons up off him and sits up really nicely for Norwood to head home. And, you know, he's a decent striker. He's not going to miss from there. But I was slightly disappointed with how we let them play out and play around us there. I thought, they looked a decent side, but it was disappointing to go in 1-0 down, but probably not against the run of play, was it? They were the better team in the first half.
Yeah, I think that's just it. The goal, again, I feel like we've conceded so many soft crap goals in injury time or right at the end of halves or, you know, against the run of play. But this one wasn't necessarily against the run of play. They probably deserved to be ahead at the half. Not necessarily on that attack, probably, but they did probably deserve to be ahead. They played really well. You can see the attacking threat that Ipswich pose. And so far in the season, they've been so inconsistent because of, I think, how many players they brought in at the beginning of the season and probably just trying to gel as a team together in one cohesive unit. And so you saw that at times, but you did see the attacking threat that they do carry for sure, especially in that first half.
Yeah, I like the look of Burns. I also like Aluko. I thought looked like a really decent player. So went in pretty disappointed at 1-0 down, and then came out and we looked much brighter and started to pass the ball around, started to show a little bit of urgency, and probably the one bit of quality in the game overall got us the draw in the end. It was an absolutely fantastic ball through from Dan Neil, wasn't it? Lovely confident finish from Nathan Broadhead, who's I think scored 5 in 5. Impressive goal, wasn't it, really?
Oh, yeah, in that first quarter of an hour of the second half, you could see there was a bit of urgency coming out of the halftime break. There was a bit of more urgency and passion on the ball, I think, and the quality really started to show through. There was obviously the pass from Dan Neal to put Broadhead through, and I'll be honest, from the moment that ball released Broadhead in on goal, there was no doubt in my mind that he was going to bury it. The form that he's been on, I almost had my hands up cheering before he had even let the ball off his feet, because I knew it was going in. And then right after that, I think it was 4 or 5 minutes after that, Gooch had a good bit of play and almost played. He was playing centrally, actually. It drifted inside, and he played a ball out and released another effort in on goal. And you could see the quality begin to build through in that first quarter of an hour out of halftime.
Yeah, and I mean, Ross Stewart had the big chance, didn't he? And I don't know about Ross Stewart at the minute. He seems that he can't get the ball out from underneath his feet. He seems that maybe there's a little bit of confidence lacking, and he's getting quite frustrated because, you know, I think a confident striker actually doesn't hit the goalkeeper's hip there. I think a confident striker gives the goalkeeper absolutely no chance. Do you agree that he just looks a little bit off in some senses? He's still obviously working really, really hard, still covering the ground, still doing a great job defensively. But when it comes to going forward, he just looks like he kind of needs a goal, any kind of goal to get himself maybe back on form.
Yeah, I think what I noticed today more than anything is when his back was to goal, when he was holding the ball up, getting his teammates involved and kind of spitting the ball out wide to our wingers, he looked a little bit more assured of himself. He looked a little bit more like he knew exactly what he was going to do before the ball even came to him. But you're right, as soon as he was facing goal and he had a couple of chances to either run at a defender or that massive chance to put one away, he looks like he's caught between two minds. And I don't know if that is down to playing a little bit differently than he was earlier in the season, where he was kind of the lone striker and he had the run of that final third of the pitch to himself. And now he's trying to get Broadhead in and figure out how to play the wingers in. I don't know if that's something to do with it, but it definitely is a confidence thing. You can see it. You could almost see painfully in slow motion when that chance came to him. He couldn't decide whether he was going to fizz the ball across the keeper to the far post and put it in on that side or kind of put it around the keeper's left into that near post. He got caught and he ended up hitting the keeper in a crucial moment.
Yeah, and that was kind of it, really, for chances at either end. They created very, very little in the second half. I don't think, really, that other than a free kick that was more of a cross than a shot that Hoffman tipped over, didn't really do very much, and neither did we, and the game really fizzled out. It got very scrappy. We picked up a whole load of yellow cards towards the end of the game. But in general, I mean, I'm all right with that. Only disappointing thing really is that Wigan and Rotherham both picked up wins. Lots and lots of games cancelled due to COVID, but all of the top three played and we slipped a little bit back. But I mean, that's going to happen. A point away from home at Ipswich, who I don't think are going to end up in 11th place in the league. It's by no means a disaster.
No, that's it. And I think as the game went on, you're right, it fizzled out. And I was both confident that we were not going to concede another goal and just as confident that we probably weren't going to put another one in as well, the way the game played out. So, yeah, if you look at just the matches that did go on and you see that Wigan and Rotherham picked up three while we picked up one, I'm sure there'll be some perspective of we've lost 2 points on the two automatic places. But at the same time, going away to Ipswich, I think that's not the worst point to pick up. Yes, we won all three. I think we should be going into every single game the rest of the season confident and expecting 3 points. And at the same time, understanding in these particular games as well, when we're away in a hostile environment against a quality opponent, that there's always the opportunity to walk away with 1 point. I don't think we should ever be satisfied with a loss, whether it be away from home or at home. But one like this, where the game fizzled and we're injury ridden, yeah, a point is good enough. We want better, but it's good enough to get us down the road. And we've got another point on the board, which I think is going to be important in the next couple of weeks with all these cancellations that we're starting to see. Getting the points on the board, as we've seen in years past, is more important than having the games in hand for me.
Oh, don't talk to me about that. Because I can't see the season being cancelled. But there's a good chance we might not be able to go into grounds. We'll see. Hopefully things will ease a little bit. Hopefully the evidence will come back. And this variant that is really ripping through, particularly urban parts of England at the minute, is not as serious as other variants, but it's scale at the minute, and we're just going to have to wait and see, and everyone's going to have to try and keep themselves safe. I hope everyone can keep themselves safe. Plenty of follow-up for this match on the Roker Report website. There'll also be loads more podcasts coming out from the 24-hour pod I don't know if we're going to get our watch along out as a podcast. I don't think that would make very good podcast listening, Kev. But there's loads and loads and loads of stuff. And on your pod feed, underneath this one, you'll see Peter Reed, you'll see Gordon Armstrong, you'll see Crabbers and Julio Arca. Loads of interviews from last week to still to drop. And we're really excited to be able to bring all of that to you in the lead up to Christmas. And then we've got Arsenal. Are you excited for that one, Kev?
Yeah, I am. I think it's a free hit, really, at going for a little bit of cup glory. And I think, you know, Arsenal's such a bizarre team this year to watch. They're so inconsistent. And every time they go out on the pitch, the times that I have been able to watch them, you really have no idea what you're going to get with them. You could get a good game and they put three or four in and look unbeatable. And then come out the next week and they look like they could never score a goal in the rest of the season. So I don't know what we'll get. I'm sure we'll get probably not their full strength squad, surely, but I think it's a free hit for our lot. They may take it more seriously than I expect them to. I don't know what the kind of backroom coaching staff perspective on that competition is. But once you make it to this stage, it's go for the cup, right? For everybody, especially for us.
I think they're going to be taking it pretty seriously, and I think everyone should just enjoy it. You know, sit back, let Sky and the other broadcasters talk about how good we are getting this far in the competition, and just enjoy it. And hopefully, you know, fans can get there safely and enjoy it safely, and we can all have a merry Christmas, or as merry as is possible in these circumstances. The Soup Kitchen Appeal is still open. As I speak, I think it is over 56,000. I haven't checked this afternoon, but it's going fantastically. Incredible. And just like to say thank you to everyone who's participated. Thanks for the people around the world like yourself, Kev, who helped us last weekend as well. It's great to have you on your debut, Proper Pod. And we'll speak to you all again soon. Ta-ra.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.